adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. You know, we play a little show called Germany or Florida on the show because we get tired of talking to the kiddies every once in a while about the crabs. And somebody sent us a nice article in the mail that talks about why all bizarre crimes come out of Germany.
Crimes most outlandish, the headline says.
Yeah, they're an interesting breed over there, the Germans.
I was reading a little bit of it. The violent crime rate is substantially lower in the United States and has continued to drop. Mm-hmm. And yet the bizarre, sort of the cork flying out of the bottle kind of stuff, you know, when the something's gone. What am I trying
Haywire?
To say? Yeah, where something really
goes
awry. Yeah.
Well, let me explain how the Germans do their killing. They do it in bunches. Mm. They don't spread it out like we do. Uh-huh. See what I mean? Mm. We do our killing like, well, we kill a couple hundred, maybe a few thousand people nationally each year. We spread it out. They save up. About every 30 years, they go on a spree. See what I'm saying?
We're in one now.
Round up the Jews. Okay. No, you understand what I'm saying, Drew? The Germans do their killing in bunches, and they do it in a national way. We trickle ours. We do ours slowly. They save
prison
up.
By prison.
They're making their move. They're getting ready to make their move.
I see.
And as I've said many times, nothing wrong with another bombing of Germany. I'm all for it. Whatever they got for World War II wasn't nearly enough.
This article suggests that most of the people doing it are immigrants, though, who don't feel a part of Germany.
Well, they're trying to blend in by engaging a bizarre crime act. That's the best way to do it.
There you go.
So I get a little crap for saying we should bomb Germany again, but I'm all for it.
Okay.
Really? Anything you haven't said? Really? We're done with them?
If you want to, well, you could
try to eradicate,
not buy their cars
eradicate
if you wanted.
The Jews? Huh? Try to exterminate a race of people? All right, we're done. You guys are on your feet. Here you go. Now? Huh? Maybe just a little. Let me ask you. Answer this, Drew. You think they got enough for World War II and World War I, for that matter?
Did they get enough? It was pretty good.
They got enough, huh? Yeah. For starting two world wars in the course of about 20 years? We're done?
Well, let's put it this way.
They got enough. That rounding up the camps? The ovens? We got enough? We're done?
Keep talking. I'll be talked back into more.
Do me a favor. Go to England and go visit the museum, the Holocaust Museum over there. Take a look around. Just really reacquaint yourself with some of the techniques the folks would use over there. And then tell me. Maybe just one more light bombing. That's all. Just a dusting of Dresden.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get... And like I said, we just do it and we give them you know what that was? But, you know, once in a while, like dads, they whack their kid one in his head, and the kid goes, what was that? I know what you were thinking. Okay? Don't even think about it. That's what we do. That's what we do with Germany. Quick bombing of Germany, and that's that little slap in the head. You guys are overdue. I know what you're thinking. Don't even think about it.
There we go.
All right?
Good times.
All right, Drew. Well, Drew wants it. But Drew's all for what we're doing over there in the Middle East. Interesting. Lena?
Ooh, uh-oh.
That's Lena.
It says Lena.
You're 22? All right. More talking about bombing Germany. Heather?
Yes?
You're 30? No, you're 20. What's up?
I just had a couple questions.
Hold on a second. And Drew, nobody called you today and told you couldn't talk. They told you what you couldn't talk about, but they didn't tell you what you couldn't talk. They didn't say
fine.
You couldn't move your mouth.
I'm fine.
Jesus Christ. Weirdo. Heather?
Yes?
Drew's all weirded out over here. What's up?
Well, I have two questions. One, I just went to go get a checkup, and I found out I had cervixitis. I'm not quite sure what that is, but...
Just means inflammation of the cervix.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And is that like... an STD, or is it, I mean...
It can be. Sometimes it's something as simple as a yeast infection. Sometimes it's a vaginal infection like a Gardnerella, something like that. Mm-hmm. Just a bacteria that overgrows, and sometimes it's an STD.
Well, either way, it's got to be removed.
Okay. See, my doctor gave me medicine to take, but just for a week and also gave me some to give to my boyfriend.
What did she give you?
I'm not sure what it's called.
He's got to eat it.
Is it Flagyl or Metronidazole?
Did she tell you
you can't use alcohol while you're taking it?
Ooh.
No.
That'd be tough.
That's a deal breaker.
Think about that. You imagine
that's
that?
That's a deal breaker. That is a deal breaker.
All right. Well, the fact that the boyfriend needs to be treated to does suggest at least there's the potential to be sexually transmitted.
Okay.
And that's a pill then for him, right?
Right.
Both of them.
Yes.
Nothing topical.
They're both pills.
Like, I bet it's Flagyl for both of them. If it is Metronidazole or Flagyl, do not drink. It'll make you violently ill.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. But it doesn't get you effed up, huh? It just gets you ill?
Yeah.
All right. Not down. See, that's the whole thing. When I see... When I see the prescription medication that has the martini glass with the cross going through it. And by the way, we've never really improved on that martini glass that's sort of sideways in the things going through it, right?
With a few bubbles coming out of it always, right?
Yeah. Is this a champagne glass or is it a martini glass? It's shaped
like a
martini glass, yet it has the bubbles coming out.
Yeah.
It's effervescent. It's a very confusing message. Should we be mixing the booze with the glasses? But when I see that, that means... Booze it up.
Bring it on.
That's supersizing, whatever it is for me. Uday? Uday? Kusay?
Udi?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
All right. Sorry we caught you off guard. Is it Udi?
Oh, Yuri. Well, you can just call me Diana.
Yeah. That ship has sailed a long time ago, Udi.
Who cares? Well,
it's my other
name as well, so.
Udi.
All right, here we go.
What's happening?
All right.
I want a clapping at him again tonight.
Let's get it going.
Here we go. Pick it up.
Let's go, Udi. What do you say now? What's the question now? Grab a knee. Don't sit on your helmets now. They're not chairs. Let's get a hand in. Break it down.
All right, Dan, here we go.
Break it down.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay, guys. Well, actually, I was sexually abused when I was about 5 years old.
Touched by a family member.
Right.
Who was it?
And
who did it?
It was my half-brother. Mm-hmm. I lived with
Your
him.
Half-brother?
Half-brother!
And
what's he doing now?
Nothing with his life, but
okay.
He's planning on getting married. He's a pretty quiet guy now, and... I see him on a daily basis. It doesn't bother me.
Daily. How old were you when he did this?
I was about 5 or 6.
And he was how?
About 15.
15. Hold on a second. So that's a big one.
Yeah.
You give me half brother, 13 and 12 kind of thing. You get the experimental thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give me the... both kids kind of thing, but 15 and...
Or both adolescents, both 16,
yeah,
17.
Yeah, something like that, but I was just... Yeah, see, that's more stepbrother action. The half-brother but at 16, because you're getting weird now, but 15 and 5.
Who got to him?
That's, like, bizarre.
Yeah.
From her previous marriage and...
Who abused him?
I have no idea. Well, he's never had a father figure in his life.
No, somebody sexually abused him.
Yeah,
no.
that... Something happened to that kid because it just does not. It's not in your emotional,
add up, right?
It's not in your mental vocabulary at 15 to be goosing 5-year-olds.
Oh, okay.
It just isn't
right.
Okay,
not unless you yourself have been physically
the fact
sexually.
Is that I'm a very insecure person, and I can't seem to turn all the negative. I'm very pessimistic. I can't seem to turn any negative energy into positive. I have a best friend who's studying engineering, software engineering and everything, and I feel less than he is. I just can't get through school just like he is.
Well, the guy
I compare
is
myself.
An engineer. Okay, you're going to college, right?
Right. But I'm taking general courses.
What's your nationality?
Me? I'm Mexican.
Yeah, Mexican.
Right. Okay.
In Chicago.
And you're in Chicago. They let you into Chicago. I guess they're just opening. They're opening all the cities up these days. Okay. She may have been there on a gardening scholarship or something like that.
You guys are kind of cutting off there.
It's probably best. I was making some racial jokes. Listen. What your brother did to you was wrong and is going to leave lasting effects on you.
Okay.
And you got to get some therapy for that. there's nothing wrong with you. You're doing pretty damn good for someone who's been through what you've been through.
Exactly. And,
sexual abuse. It wasn't the only time with my brother. Only it was with other people as well.
Okay.
Although no one really found out about those incidents.
Who were the other people?
We used to rent for some people, and I don't know, it was the owner. And it was him, and one time it was the brother of the owner of the house.
Oof.
I don't really, we don't really know those people directly, and we have lost touch with them years
ago. How old were you at the time when these guys did this?
I was about 4 years old. It was around the same time, earlier.
Yeah. So your brother was not the first one to do it?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, what's up with your mom sexually abused?
Something's up with your mom.
Yeah.
What's up with your mom?
Well, you know how it is with Mexican people immigrating to the
United States. We can't judge.
They
will not judge.
They come here to work, and you know, sometimes they're too busy off at work. You know, they really,
they leave the kids alone.
No, let me tell you something. Let me explain something to Drew. You whiteys over there, your kids, I mean, you guard your kids like Fort Knox.
Right.
The working, let me tell you something about people that work, especially when mom's at work and dad's either not on the scene or whatever. Kids are sort of out and about. I mean, you got to count on neighbors and school people and friends and drunken dads.
And look what happens.
Yeah, look what happens. And think about the kind of people your kid is hanging out with.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, I mean, like...
Who knows?
When I was young, half the kids I hung out, their dads were like alcoholics and stuff.
So let me get this straight. Both your parents were working so hard, they left you to make entertainment for yourself.
No, but my mom couldn't be, you know, pried out of her room with a shoehorn and a case of KY.
Because her work was there at her desk, on her computer.
Her work was napping and smoking a little weed. You understand? She was a proud immigrant woman. Squatting. Her parents immigrated to
By
this,
the way, strangely,
3,
that behavior, not immigrant behavior. Strangely, that's
hanging out.
That super hanging out is like sixth generation American.
Yeah. I know. It's just no one informed my family. Most people actually have a little money before they get into that hangout stuff.
That's the irony of the American.
You guys are hammering welfare checks and hanging out. But listen, Adi, she got to get herself some therapy.
Yeah,
she's doing well.
Yeah, for what she's been through, but she still cannot feel.
Absolutely.
She has a severe self worth issue. I would be surprised if she were a cutter. Let's just quickly ask, Udi.
Yes.
Do you ever cut on yourself?
Yeah, from an accident though, not from self mutilation or anything. You know.
All right. Sort of a strange answer.
Well, Drew wasn't asking if you've ever
been
had
cut.
A cut.
Do you have an impulse to self mutilate?
Maybe a throw up at times. I think about, you know, just throwing up what I eat.
Okay, look, how about some therapy? You're going to the college, right?
Right.
Avail yourself of those resources.
They're great resources at every school in the country, essentially.
Is there anyone or any place you guys can recommend for
go people? To your student health services.
That's right.
Student health services. Go to the mental health services. There will be someone for you.
That's right.
It's the best time to use. That's the best health services in the country. The stuff designed age specific for kids in school.
Yeah, use it.
Tons
all
of it.
Then you get out of college. You don't. No one cares about you anymore. You don't have any insurance, and no one's going to look after you. Michael.
Yes.
You're 17.
Hello?
Yeah. Michael.
Yeah.
This is where you speak.
Will I speak? Yes. Actually, I've been smoking weed for about 4 years now.
I'm saying this has to be a drug call,
right?
And by the way, how dare you? Weed does not affect people. I've seen some studies from the 70s that show proof.
Yeah, listen, everyone.
No effect.
Everyone I know smokes weed. Looks like those guys that are when they're on the satellite and they got the earpiece in and they're trying to join in on those political roundtables, but they're on a 3-second delay. It's always a little herky jerky, a little bumpy. They're not quite sure. They're stilted and late. Cadence is a little bad.
The circuits aren't all open.
Right. All right.
All right, Michael.
Go ahead, Michael. Here we go now.
All right. What it is, I've been trying to quit. I've tried constantly, and it's like, I mean, it's pretty much virtually impossible. And, I mean, when I try, like, if I even go a day without smoking, it, I just get very irritated and everything.
All right. So you've proven to yourself that you're addicted to pot. Now, why don't you get treatment?
I was just wanting to see if you had any, like, specific advice to help, you know, I mean, because, like, I've just been trying to quit so I can get a better job and all this and that, but, I mean...
Yeah, you're addicted, so you will not stop, or you will switch to something else, and the only way that it will stop is with treatment, and you can go to a program. Would you live in Phoenix or Tucson?
Chandler, actually.
Is that near
sure,
one?
Sure, you ever, right?
Is that near one of the bigger cities?
Near Phoenix,
near
yeah.
Phoenix.
Go to M.A.
Yeah, just go to M.A. Call or if you don't
doesn't
know,
have any money.
Go to AA if this is not a specific M.A. referral. Ask for M.A., Marijuana Anonymous. There'll be a lot of Michaels there. It's a common story.
How a lot of guys named Mike over there?
Just the guys that look and act and have a story like Mike's.
I'm hip. I thought you specifically meant the name.
Yeah.
Who funds all this M.A. and C.A.? And SA and all this. Where do they get all the money?
For what?
Well, whatever. They got to get the basement at the church rented out.
Church, no, they're or
people
the church
showing
give
up.
To them. That's why they're in churches and stuff. They get free space.
Oh, yeah. See, if I was a church, I would rent my space out,
Some people might. It's the coffee and the, you know, whatever else.
It doesn't cost anything?
They probably round up a little something.
You never hear about fundraisers
no,
or anything.
Not, they're not. They're not commercial entities. They have no...
No, I just mean every other organization is out rattling the can all the time, yeah. Trying to get money out of everybody.
There's a real tradition against that in AA, 12-step.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Hey, it's just, you know, I wish AIDS folks would take a page out of the AA book and leave everyone alone.
12 traditions. 12 and 12.
12 what?
The traditions of AA.
12 traditions is what?
Yeah, one of them is you don't...
Not begging for money every goddamn 5 seconds?
Not creating a commercial entity out of
good. The rest of you...
Which is why, by
that.
The way, this thing remains free for everybody. That's
what
why
do you mean? If they had... Why? If they had money, it'd be better. What?
No, it is such a service, people could start charging for it very easily, and then all the people that don't have money would no longer have access to it.
Well, I like the fact that they're very accessible, they're open everywhere, and every city in the country has one, and you never hear them asking for money. Yeah.
It's against the tradition.
Jessica?
Hi, how are you?
You're 16?
Uh-huh.
What's up, baby doll?
Okay, my question is, I recently had a baby. My daughter is 5 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know if a person's body weight has anything to do with the strength in their vaginal muscles, because since her sex is just nothing, it feels like
that is more
in the hallway.
That is much, blah, 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 blah. That is much more to do with your hormonal situation. Mm-hmm. And sort of how aroused you are or not by the...
I really do.
But
and
not
I,
the way you did before pregnancy, though.
Not even the way before, during, it's just, ugh.
It's different, that's right.
Ooh.
And that's a real common thing after pregnancy. Are you still breastfeeding?
Uh-uh.
Okay, you might want to, are you menstruating normally?
Not quite, it's kind of been
you
off.
You may want to talk to your doctor about going on the birth control pill. Sometimes that will help sort of kickstart.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You were fading out?
Sometimes getting on the birth control pill at this stage of the game can sort of kickstart things. You may want to talk to your doctor about that.
I've been on the birth control since after she was born, because they told me that it was real easy to get pregnant again, so I've been on a Depo-Provera shot. But
no, Depo-Provera is the worst thing you could possibly do. That'll shut you down completely. It's a great contraceptive, but not for this problem you're having.
Drew, try to stay on the mic, would you, buddy? What are you doing? You're up on your feet.
It sounds like you're doing
a lounge act or something. Sit down and relax.
I'm just kind of nervous.
Jessica.
Not you.
What's really shutting you down is that Depo-Provera shot. You need to find a different means of contraception, maybe the pill or the patch.
Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah.
I got one. How about the pill or maybe the patch?
Not the pill, but what kind of pill?
Hey, baby doll.
Like
ortho-tricycline, the patch. That's fine. Ortho-tricycline would be great. In fact, for some women, that really gets things going.
That's your pill.
Thank
okay.
you, Adam.
Where's your man? Is he around?
Actually, not at the moment. He's working.
All right. He's working. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of the kid.
See, that's not the problem. He's fine. He's wonderful and everything's
right.
Wonderful, but it's just not wonderful.
How old is he?
He's 21.
21.
Jessica, are you not hearing me when I tell you what the Depo-Provera shot typically does?
I know, and it made me get fat, too.
Well, no, that may be the pregnancy.
All right. I'm trying to do the whole hang up with my fist. How many goddamn times we got to tell you to get on the pill? You're taking a shot. It's working great in terms of not getting pregnant, but it may be shutting you down sexually. So you need to adjust that.
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
What if they ever get to sort of just add estrogen into the Depo-Provera shot? That'd be interesting.
Well, why not?
Yeah, I don't hear of that ever, but that'll be the thing to do.
And listen, let's start putting that thing in dart form. See if we can slow down these teen pregnancies.
I know Jessica was 16.
Yeah, she's got no problem with that. And this is really the problem. She, you know, focus is on I got to get laid, not prenatal care, or I got to take care of my infant, you know?
Right.
Look, I don't blame. I mean, picture me at 16.
Oh.
Picture you at 16.
Oh.
Horrible. I, you know, I would have crushed my child like a retarded kid, you know, like I was playing too hard with
Lenny.
It. Yeah, like Lenny. And then, it's just lying there. It's not moving. Wake up. Wake up. And then it'd be like, I'd be telling a social worker, like, I tried to put it in the tub, to make, but then I forgot and the cartoons came on. And the baby would just be lying in the I want to give it a bath.
Hooray,
so
yay.
Yay! Yay! I want to go to Hawaii! Yeah. I mean, that's right. I would have killed the kid.
Yeah. I could not have raised anything.
No, no.
I mean, a tarantula. I mean,
no, you would have
well, you already killed a tarantula.
No, you,
right.
You would have. You. Oh, I did kill a tarantula.
Yeah.
That's right. I didn't mean to, though. But, Drew, you. Yeah. You would have killed a reptile.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't have.
Easily.
Left, it would have. It got down in the 60s. You forgot to leave the heat light on.
Oh, that's way too common. No, that, long before that happened, something else would have happened.
What is it about the reptiles, by the way, that they won't eat when we want them to eat?
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this before. Like, every once at one, I knew about three guys who owned snakes at various points of my life, and it was always big excitement. It's feeding time, man. We got a mouse. We're going to throw it in there. Watch this. Throw the mouse in there. It's like, hey, he's not moving, but don't worry. He's going to strike like a cobra, you know. Half hour goes by. It's like eventually the mouse is crawling on top of the snake and sleeping on top of the snake. You still coming? You go away. You come back. Not doing anything. They always eat them when you're not around.
Yeah.
It's never any fun at all. And you know what does that do? Fish do that too.
Yeah, they eat suddenly. Yeah.
You try to get a fish to eat another fish. Look, we enjoy watching other things eat other things as much as we enjoy eating things. You know what I mean? It's nice. It's nice for us, especially that one gulp stuff. See, there's not. You don't want to see a bunch of hyenas gnawing at a gazelle.
Mm-hmm.
Blood
yeah.
all over
yeah.
their face, tearing the flesh apart.
You just want the stuff sucked up.
Yeah, I like to see like a big grouper just swallow a bass or something. Just pow. Well, I guess they're both basses. One's a little bigger. Anyway, they're both in the bass family. Let's take a break, Drew.
Yeah.
I'm going to figure this fish thing out. I'd like to see a channel where fish just ate other fish.
The restaurant food channel.
No. I want to see fish swallowing other fish. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you want to see the food chain like in fast motion.
Yeah, but I don't want to see. I don't want to see sharks gnawing at stuff. You got to swallow it whole.
Yeah.
I could watch that forever. And then the weird ones that are all camouflaged and they look like rocks or something. And then pow.
Right. That's the good one.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah, they suck them in.
All right, we'll take a quick. You ever seen that lure fish?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It dangles the thing out in front of it. Other fish come around, it sucks it up.
Diabolical.
Angler, yeah, the angler fish. Look that up, Chris. Punch in the angler fish on this. Very exciting. All right, you got to look at that angler fish, Drew.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's on the computer. We're both looking at the angler fish. Freakiest fish you've ever seen in your life. God bless that internet. Now Drew's telling me how many square feet are in an acre. 43,550. 560. Oh, 560. Oh, all right. Yeah, we can keep ourselves entertained over here. And educated. Yes, Drew?
Yeah, of course. Growing constantly.
Let's speak to Anthony, who's 23. Anthony?
Yes, how you doing?
What's happening?
Nothing. let's see, I had unprotected sex with my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. The following morning, we went to Planned Parenthood, got the, what's it called?
Morning after pill,
right?
Fabulous.
And that night, we had unprotected sex again.
Well, as long as you learned a lesson.
What was the plan?
All right.
What'd you say, Adam?
No, okay. So you had unprotected sex again that night.
Right. And I figured because, you know, it's basically like a birth control pill except three times stronger, right?
No.
If we were still protected or not.
Well, it's a really interesting question. I think you probably would be. But in reality, I think most people would recommend you to take it again the next day.
Well, it's not like you're on the birth control pill.
No,
or is
right.
It?
No, it isn't at all.
It's you took a high dosage of a form of birth control pill that had some effect over you possibly getting pregnant.
Right.
But it's not like you're on the pill for that day.
No, it's not.
I think he looks at it as well, she took the pill.
That day, yeah.
But if you go on the pill, you can't have sex the first day you go on the pill. And technically, the pill's in you, right?
Right. You got to wait a month to really be protected.
Right. Just for me, you know, it's a month of pure oral.
Mm.
Nothing but.
Interesting.
Oral month, I call it. Oral timber. Oct oral, I call it. Yeah, it's the 13th month. The point is, it was on the old Roman calendar.
I see.
They just changed it.
I see.
What's Anthony got to do?
Is she probably going to take it again? Probably okay.
What was the time period, though?
Well, part of the problem, by the way, will be that if she ovulates, say, 2 days from now,
mm-hmm.
the sperm could still be waiting there for the egg.
Mm-hmm.
She needs, it could still happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so the suppression of the ovulation may not be as effective 3 days out from the pill taken the day before. Mm-hmm. The idea is to not let the egg come down while the sperm is still waiting up there.
Mm-hmm.
And this way, the sperm has like about a 24-hour head start, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So she could suddenly drop an egg.
Yeah.
So probably they'd have you repeat the morning after pill the next day.
I dropped a few eggs in here last night. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rotten eggs.
Yeah, I dropped an egg. And no birth control pill going to stop that.
No.
Only an act of God could have stopped that.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out which one.
He's a fan. Megan?
Yeah.
Which act that is?
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's happening, baby doll?
I am diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and whenever I have my little mood swings and I get in the mania stage, I get a little overly promiscuous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, when you get manic, you get hypersexual.
Yes.
And what do you do?
I pretty much either masturbate or engage in sex.
Mm.
With different guys?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And is that, you ever got an STD? Any consequences from that?
STI. Oh, that's
STI.
STI. That's one of those.
That's my new nomenclature.
That's a horror movie.
Yeah.
STI. It's a health class that's haunted at a junior college. Yeah?
No, Freddie is.
STI.
He is the coach and the health instructor.
No,
right? No, I can't say. Or some
no,
somebody.
I like
Wolf
the haunted
like,
health class, and you know the crabs are like the size of hubcaps.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Who are we talking to?
Megan.
Oh, Megan. All right. Megan.
Yeah.
All right. How many guys you had sex with this way?
20.
20.
Huh. Are you a trauma survivor? Were you sexually abused growing up?
No, I wasn't.
And are you an addict?
No. I've never really been able to get addicted to anything. I recently quit smoking pot for the past 2 months.
All right. Okay, here's the deal. Are you taking your meds?
Yes, I am every day.
What happens when you become manic? Are you just brittle and get manic no matter what, or do you stop taking your medicines? You stopped taking your meds, right?
No, just the past medication that they had me on wasn't strong enough. Mm-hmm. And now they're switching me on medication.
And you know how you understand how biological this disorder is, right?
Yeah, I do.
So really, the important thing here is prevent from becoming manic again, and that's mm-hmm. about taking the medicine.
What do you mean become brittle?
Like diabetics can be brittle, and no matter what you do, their sugars are always up, and you can't get them under control. Mm-hmm. Some bipolars are that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
They can be stable for a while, and all of a sudden spin. Poof.
Yeah, but she's not taking her meds.
No, she was. She just wasn't taking the right ones, and now is stable. So that's
all
fine.
Right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But
good times, huh?
Well, it's a loss for the male community. And where were all these manic chicks when I was in high school? You know what I'm saying?
They're with your buddies.
That's true. Laura?
It takes all
kinds,
though.
It does take all kinds. You're 23?
Yes.
What's happening?
I'm dating an older guy who is, you know, kind of slightly overweight, like not obese or anything, but he's, you know, a few extra pounds. And mm-hmm. he's apparently very self-conscious about it. So what he does is he makes jokes to me about it, I guess, so I'll be okay with it.
About his weight?
Mm-hmm.
How much does he weigh?
Oh, I don't know, maybe about 220, 230. I mean, nothing. I mean, he's 6'2", so, I mean, it's nothing like grossly mm-hmm. overweight or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what to say to him when he says jokes like this, because I kind of would like him to go to the gym a little bit.
How old is he?
He's 32.
32.
The only weight I lift is my own, my big fat ass every day when I wake up. That was pretty good. My fat ass.
The irony is those guys would have no trouble going to the gym. That's mania right
little,
there.
Little
that's
insane
what that was.
Clown posse yeah. for you. Well, what does he do? What does he eat? Does he eat poorly?
No, not really. I mean, if he went to the gym maybe a couple times a week, it would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, for guys, it takes more than a couple times a week, particularly at that age. But what do you go to the gym?
Do I? Yes.
Can you go? Can you take him along?
It's an all-girls gym that I go to.
Oh, really?
Oh, what's it called?
You want to know the name of it?
It's like there's circuit gyms now they have.
Yeah.
It's a 24-hour Lesbo.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
It's a chain. Oh, man, would that draw... Draw dudes too, especially dudes. It'd be I'm going to start a gym chain called 24 Hour Lesbo. Ironically, all dudes, but each one of them that signs up thinks he's the only dude. It's like, okay, that's the whole thing. That's a sales pitch. 24 Hour Lesbo, and then every guy signs up. It's like, I don't know. I instruct all my guys. We're not supposed to let guys in. Are you cool? Oh yeah. I mean, can you maintain? I mean, because we only have one shower and jacuzzi and sauna area. I mean, if you promise...
You can pretend you're gay, too. Gay male.
No.
No, that wouldn't work?
No, because it's all chick. No. Then it's going to be nothing but gays.
I understand. So you let one guy in, you mean? I didn't follow you.
Nah. Chris, you know. No. Chris knows.
Chris, how'd it work?
Every guy we sign up thinks he's the only guy
I
in
see.
There.
Got it.
You
got
see?
It, got it. So you never, let them see,
we,
keep we, the doors closed.
Let them know. And so, but we do that. Okay, dude, I could get fired for this.
Yeah.
I'm not even supposed to be here because I have a scrotum. I'm going to sign you up. It's going to be a little more expensive than your average health spa. I'll sign you up, but don't tell anybody. Keep it cool. And it's just all dudes. All dudes. And one bull dyke.
Oh, one.
One. We got to keep it real. Laura?
Mm-hmm.
What does he do for a living?
He's a firefighter, actually.
Firefighter.
Uh-huh.
Aren't they supposed to keep in shape?
I mean, like I said, he's not obese or anything. He's just got a few extra pounds. And when he makes these jokes, he's doing it, so I'm okay with it.
All right, so why don't you take him to the gym with you? And would say, you know, you're more concerned about his health. Why don't we really get with this? And come on, let's go.
Well, no. You don't have to go to a gym if you're a firefighter, because you stay at the firehouse and they have all that equipment and stuff there. And you just work out when you're sitting around all day.
Yeah, but how do you get him to do that without insulting him when he's making the joke about
it? His joke is your entree into that topic.
But
he makes a joke about his love handles. You tell him, well, you know, if you want to get rid of that, you could pump a little iron instead of watching TiVo at the firehouse.
I think there are two approaches that women can take that men will listen to. One is, I'm concerned about your health. Have you read about the metabolic syndrome where it's
just laugh that off. They go, what's this love handle
two,
have to do with my health?
I want you to be looking the best you can. If you don't want input from me on about how to make yourself a lot better, that's okay with me. But I want to let you know that, boy, you really...
Now, here's what you do, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
You tell them you got a letter, and they're putting together one of those hunky fireman calendars. And they want him this year. Okay?
But you won't hear of it until he...
No. Just that's enough. he's got to whip him into shape. They find out this guy's, you know, they get this guy. So, by the way, when did this become acceptable? The greased up fire guy leaning on, straddling the pole with the shirt off, the suspenders hanging around. What are you guys doing? First off, you ain't arena football players, you understand, trying to raise a couple bucks for charity. This is the fire department. I don't know, this sort of geeky, this hunky thing, I don't know when it became okay for the police, you know, hunky policeman calendar and the hunky fireman calendar.
Hunky, it's cheesecake, you know, it's beefcake rather.
Well, yeah, I mean the same. Yeah,
I should say
it borders on gay erotica.
Right.
Is really what it is.
Right.
And I'm just saying, where's the female version of this? Hot chicks who work at the DMV. You know what I mean? Like,
but I've talked about this before many times. What the guy does, what the woman does, she's a model. She poses for.
Yeah, they
for
don't men. Have. Yes, yeah. Yes. You scour the globe. Go down to the Department of Building, the DMV, the police force, the fire department, so you can find a 1-7, that whole crew.
Yeah, but the point
is. It's just like a morbidly obese black woman with crazy hair and fingernails.
Right.
That's the only thing. You go to the DMV, morbidly obese black women with unicorns painted on their nails. And what is that, by
oh,
the
no,
way?
You didn't.
How come we can't see decent chicks out in public? You know what I'm saying? Like, you girls, you do nothing but complain, but you don't know how good you got it. There's normal guys working places, you know? You can go in to a city municipality, you can go into a court, you can go into a fire department. You can go to a fire department, and if there's 12 guys, there might be 7 of them are pretty solid.
Yeah.
You can do that. We don't get that luxury. The chicks at work, they're chewing gum, they got like 3 chins, they're into something, they smell weird. We don't get that. We don't get the solid chick. Oh, yeah, once in a while you go into the restaurant, they got the hot service.
Receptionist, yeah.
You got the hostess that's a good 8.5,
yeah.
But she's gone.
Yeah.
She's gone the next week. The hotties, they don't work. They either model, that's their work, or they're struggling actors or something, or they just marry off some guy. They're not around. They're like, they're pulled out of the population. We can't enjoy them.
Were they kept in some camps?
Yeah, I'd like to start one. I'm just saying, guys, you know, if you travel, even as a guy, and I ain't one of those guys, but as a guy, once you walk, you go about your day, you'll see guys are like good-looking guys just working at the Starbucks. You know, just sort of behind the counter, just doing stuff.
Right.
Construction guys digging holes and pounding nails. It's good-looking guys. You don't have that.
But
you don't have that.
What the guy does is a key ingredient.
How about a hot chick cab driver?
Oh.
Sporty cab driver chick,
sporty.
Huh? That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Sporty.
Chick comes to read your meter. She's hot. You know what I mean? The male. What about the male women? How about a nice hot male? You ever see those male women? You think they're dudes until you get up on them, and then you wish they were. All right. Let's take a break. I'm just saying, you women, you don't know how good you got it.
Remember, what the guy does figures into the whole experience of the picture.
Yeah.
For a woman.
I'm just saying, like,
not for guy. I get it.
You know, like, imagine, is there any version of the good-looking pool guy who comes to the house, unloads the truck, you know, does this? There's no female version of that. There's no hottie chick that shows up to put up your satellite dish. You see what I mean?
Yes.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Did you hear the promo for this week's hack? You see hack? No, I didn't see it on TV.
No. Is it going to be a rapist?
Oh, Drew.
No?
Drew, you gave it away.
Sorry.
Jackass.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, my God. This week on hack, in order to stop an internet gambling ring, hack is going to have to become a rapist.
But I hear him announcing stuff all the time now.
I think I do, too.
Yeah, it freaks me out a little bit. It's like, come on.
In order to reach these kids, hack will have to become a rapist. So it's funny. Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You're a former cop from San Diego.
Yep.
And you're here to tell us that there are these cheesecake calendars?
Beefcake.
Well, they were for the PD when I was in back in the
90s and 80s. Drew, hold on a second. What are you? You got like tinnitus or something tonight? You're like a step off. You're a step back. You never know what's going on.
Fair enough.
I'm telling you about the lesbo gymnasium. You're going with the gays. What's going on there, Drew? Come on, buddy. Here we go now. Hey, Drew.
All right, here we go.
Come on, grab a knee, buddy. Come on, break it down. Let's go. Get a hand in. Let's go now. All right, let's talk to Mike, line 535, cop. What's going on there, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
All right, buddy. Way to break it down.
Come on, Drew. Pick it up. Let's go.
You're right.
All right, so why are you a former cop, by the way?
I just got tired of the politics.
Okay.
Politics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted to beat on ethnic groups, and they wouldn't let him. Yes?
No, that's our brothers to the north in L.A. County.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, all right, is a cop a good job?
It pays the bills. You know, it definitely is not boring.
Mm-hmm.
But it does get kind of mundane when you go to the same meet up with the same losers every day.
Yeah. Hey, is it Mike? And we're going to talk about these calendars for a second, but
right.
I really have this theory that it's about 1% of the population that's just effing it up for everybody. Like, you know. I call 911. Well, actually, I've never called 911. But I will one day, God forbid, I will call 911 and it'll be busy because they'll be on the phone with the a-hole who's called in for a sixth time this month.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
Can we just start? When's the mercy killing start? You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, how come there's a very small population that gets to monopolize the police department? That's a domestic dispute every other night. It's another 911 call. They're in a feud with the neighbors, so they're going to get a restraining order, and then they call the cops on them because the stereo's up to... Really? You know what I mean? There's like, it's like 99% of the population has nothing to do with the cops, and then 1% is either getting arrested or constantly calling them for nothing. Can we do something about this 1%? Mike, how about a pistol whipping?
Hey, as long as there's no video cameras around, I'm all for it.
Please. I mean, as a cop, you just run into the same guys over and over again, right?
Well, it depends, yeah. I mean, when I was working, it was usually, you know, in the area I worked, it was always the same gang members, the same, you know.
Same domestic disputes and all that?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So you called to tell us that there is a female calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, what were they wearing? That's the whole thing. The firemen got their shirts off and they wear nothing but suspenders and like holding like a Dalmatian in front of their junk.
Mm. Or they're wearing the big protecting, the fireproof pants.
Yeah, they're wearing
pants.
You
know why they can wear that.
Why?
It's because all they do is lift weights. How often do
farmers
go out and...
I know, that's my thing. They sit around all day and they just eat and lift weights. I know, they're huge guys. Chicks love them, too.
Oh, they do more than that.
Yeah, once in a while they...
They watch the fire truck, too.
Yeah. You know what I love, by the way? I love how the Army doesn't like the Navy. I love how the cops don't like the firemen. I like how the Highway Patrol doesn't like the sheriffs. I like the fact that people that we look at is essentially the same, hate each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very jealous or envious or.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. I don't know why I'm amused with the Army hating the Navy.
Yeah.
Drew hates Dr. Phil. The same guy. All right, so Mike, what are they wearing in this calendar?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Mike?
All right. That's the world's most unsatisfying show.
But the point is, well, again, made the same, which is guys don't care what they did. So they, A, don't want to see them in the garb of whatever their job was.
Right.
And B, if there are more attractive women who don't have that job, they'd rather see that.
Yes. Yeah. It's neither here nor there.
So it's why we've never heard of that calendar.
Right.
No one's bought it.
Well, this is my theory, whereas... When you go to a male strip joint, the guys are always dressed as cops or firemen or Indians. No, not Indians.
Aren't they? Is that just in the gay strip?
Well, that's just the gay stuff. Okay. But they're dressed as guys who have jobs, essentially.
Or some
women are dressed as sluts.
No, they're dressed as strippers. Right?
All right. Come on!
Maybe it's you.
Listen! I'm trying to make the point, which is...
The point is...
Stop crapping on everything that comes out of my mouth!
I was just saying that they're dressed as the job they're doing. The job is stripping.
No.
Are you throwing a tantrum?
Here's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
The guys dress up in outfits of cops and firemen, other professions.
Yes.
Women dress as nothing. They dress as prostitutes. They dress as sluts. They don't need a job. Guys don't want that.
But the point I was
making, not a job.
But the point I was making is they do dress as a job. The job they're doing, stripper. That's the job they want. They have.
All right. You're halfway back. Right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Hey, y'all, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, it's time to get back to the phones, Drew.
Yeah.
Smoking pot, make him grow boobs.
We got that first.
Yeah, why not? Right. We haven't taken that one in a while.
Right.
Ryan?
Hello.
Hello, Ryan.
Here's my question for I've been listening for, 16 years since Silver Axe.
Wow.
I took you off the air, Drew, a couple of years ago about psych grad school. Missed you at Stanford, but here's the question. You used to say back in the day that it's possible that adolescents, when they're using a lot of marijuana, can males can grow breasts, sort of.
Yep, that happens.
But now I start telling them to shut up with that nonsense.
Have you ever seen that in a fully grown adult male?
I have not seen it. It's usually in particular in middle adolescence, but sometimes even in later adolescence.
Okay, 15 to 17-ish.
Yeah, I imagine it's been reported. Actually, I'm thinking back when I was in medical school once. I saw a Hispanic guy who was about 35 with this.
Yeah,
and there was a lot of debate. Yeah, what was the debate? Yeah. Was the weed or not?
Well, look, it's always a genetic predisposition that gives you this stuff. Sometimes stuff doesn't. Yeah, here's the thing.
It pushes it along.
If a guy's supposed to be skinny, you can't make him fat with a bad diet. I mean, when he's 60, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make Iggy Pop fat. You just can't.
Gotcha. Right. I had one more quick.
What? Do you got man boobs?
No, I'm cool. I'm just kind of curious about that.
All right, man boob.
Yeah. Also, how about having Mr. Bertram on the show? I've had this mini campaign going in my head. I wanted to write letters or call, and I couldn't think of a good question to get on the air. And this is something I thought it was a cool question, but yeah, Bertram, big fan.
Yeah. Oh well, thanks.
Just do the whole show one night as Bertram.
Have him on, and then you know it's all.
Well, I'm on as a guest.
But would he be a guest hosting for Adam, or would Adam be here also?
Well, why don't you have Bertram and then just Robo Adam?
Oh yeah, virtual Adam.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah. We could probably try that now.
Right this minute? We have to get a little woodworking question going here.
Well, yeah. Now, what a lot of people don't know... Well, okay. But just to straighten this whole thing out.
Yeah.
What happened is Mr. Bertram was on this show many years ago as a guest when it was just local out here at the on the mother station, K-Rock, where it all originated many years ago out here in Southern California. Then when it went national, we didn't monkey with any of that Bertram stuff because who the hell knew who Mr. Bertram was anywhere outside of Los Angeles. But now since he pops up on Crank Yankers periodically, maybe some of the folks who listen to the show are hip to the Bertram cat. All right.
So do you want Brian to get a... woodworking question?
Well, get a woodworking question.
Right.
Sure.
Hang up on Ryan and get a woodworking question. When a real tough, a serious woodworking question.
Or we just never going to find it.
And Bertram, go ahead.
How about a whole segment? Next segment, we'll just do Bertram as a guest and virtual.
Yeah, I don't know how we do virtual because virtual Adam just says takes all kinds. Yeah.
I got you covered.
Oh, really?
He'll do it.
All right, we'll do it next segment.
And it's Brian. It's always Bertram is always funniest when he's taking questions from young women. It's very funny.
Yeah, Brian, phone screener Brian.
Yeah.
That is. I always think you're talking to Ryan who just called. That's why it's confusing. Amy.
Yes.
You're 24.
Yes, I am.
You have a Vulvodynia?
Vulvodynia.
Dynia.
Yeah. Are you familiar with what that is?
Yeah.
Sure.
Actually,
it was a former republic of the Soviet Union, I think, before the violent coup.
It's, Amy, just the description of a symptom, that you have a painful genital
external pain. Yes. Yeah. Actually, it's an inflammation of your Bartholin glands.
It can be. It's one of the things that can cause it.
Okay. Well, I was diagnosed with it about 4 years ago, and I was wondering, is there any cure for it or anything that I can use to relieve the pain?
Well, here's our usual question with unexplained pelvic and genitalia pain. Were you sexually abused growing up?
No.
No trauma like that?
No.
Okay. And did this start with any kind of infection?
It started with a yeast infection, and then I was treated for strep B. And then after that, it was just
infection.
It was constant pain.
What, you said strep B, you said genital infection, or you mean...
I mean vaginal or pelvic.
Yes, there's a strep B that you can get down just there.
That's a vaginitis then. No. Yeah, that's a vaginitis.
Yeah, so I was treated for a yeast infection, which they thought the yeast infection didn't go away, and then they did a culture test and came back that I had strep B. And they treated me for strep B and continually every month would test me for it, and I was fine, but I still had the symptoms.
And is it a burning, or what kind of pain is it?
Yeah, it was burning. Inflammation, it was red. I was tested for...
Having a vagina is like having a disease.
Are you?
It really is. It's like being born with diabetes or something. It's like a part diabetes, part Ferrari in your pants.
Well, I've been to about 5 different doctors and specialists.
Are you on birth control pills?
I am, but...
have they changed that?
Yes, they have.
You know, the most common reason that people get those kinds of symptoms are from estrogen deficiency.
Really?
I think I got that.
Yeah. And have they ever given you estrogen creams or anything like that?
Yeah, they did.
And that didn't work, huh?
Yeah, they did. They gave me creams for external and then also...
But estrogen creams, though.
Yes.
Where do you rub that estrogen
cream?
It actually
burns really bad, though.
Really?
The estrogen cream,
yeah. It has a bitter flavor to it. Where do you rub it in?
It's just all around.
Hmm.
It's just on the outer area.
You put it around your vagina?
Yeah, and it's sort of, there's an applicator you can put some inside,
exactly.
too.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually, they changed my
diet. You don't know
about
that?
No, hold on. It's weird that you're putting it on and around, as like you're basting your vagina in estrogen?
You're trying to cover all the surfaces with it, yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to get estrogen into you.
No, you're supposed to try not to get it in you, just get it on you.
Why? What does that do?
Because that's where the deficiency is, right there at the surface. So you apply it right to the surface.
And it just soaks up the estrogen?
Exactly. Women in menopause get this all the time.
Oh, really?
What she's describing is a sort of a classic, what's called atrophic vaginitis.
Uh-huh.
And Vulvodynia is her symptomatology from it.
Vulvodynia. Wasn't Latka from Vulvodynia?
Yeah. Coincidentally.
Right.
So she's seen. Listen, you've seen lots of people. How am I going to be able?
Oh,
to
Oh no! Wait,
manage
the cousin from Bosom Buddies. No, what the hell was that show? The hell was
Mork
that
and
show?
Mindy or something?
No, Bronson Pinchot. Perfect Strangers. Yeah, Balky. He was from Vulvodynia, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I got reacquainted with that show a year ago when we were. You know, where we were a year ago.
No.
North Carolina.
A year ago
week
now?
Of my life.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was like April or May, and it was now, February.
Well, here's how I know. All right, she needs to go back to the doctor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to add much to a bunch of experts that have looked and seen and taken your history and tested. I'm just saying, think in terms of, look up atrophic vaginitis, and I've had some people have some success going down that path.
Here's how I know we're coming on to a year from us going to North Carolina and doing Dawson's Creek. And here's why it stands up my memory as a horrible experience. Because we were having to do this godforsaken radio show from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. And then we'd have these early wake-up calls each time. And to have to be on the set where we just sat around in our trailer. And then each time I would fall asleep, some guy would tap on the thing and say, "We need you on set." And then I would get up and stumble out there. And then I'd sit around for 20 minutes. I'd go back to my trailer and go back to sleep again. Then the same guy would come get me. But anyway... it started off in a miserable way, and it ended in a miserable way for me, which was A, we were staying at this sort of rustic kind of place. And here's the whole thing about, you know, rustic charm. It's like the bed and breakfast.
Yes.
Bed and breakfast sounds great.
Yes.
Very romantic. Oh, you'll be staying in someone's home. You'll get that home-cooked meal and that warmth that you can only get. No, what you got is a weirdo family. And these bed and breakfast families, by the way, same group. They're like the homeschool tribe.
Yeah.
They're just a bunch of weird relatives floating around getting weird. Yeah. Some guy, you know, a comforter that looks like a Rorschach test if you shined a black light on it, I'm sure. I mean, disaster.
There's weird boundaries in those houses, too, because you can kind of always hear through the walls. There's people creaking and walking around outside.
There's a couple things, and we're getting back. I'll get back to Dawson's Creek. But the bed and breakfast thing, don't do it. Don't anyone do it. Here's the thing, too. There's always the weird family member who's not been spoken of or introduced to you. The grandma, the weird aunt from the old country. She's planted in the kitchen. Right. So when you're heading you're heading out of your room and it's like 2 in the morning and you want to get a yogurt from the refrigerator, weird grandma sitting there giving you the stink eye. You're not sure if you should say hi to her. What is she? Doesn't seem to be looking at you. A weird little energy. Somebody's cooking you a
horrible
breakfast.
Boundaries.
It's
not
quite what you wanted.
Yeah.
There's some kids running around.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
I don't know how I don't know how I got involved with this thing, but somebody decided, it was my wife, that we need to stay at a bed. It's always a disaster. Don't anyone do it. It shouldn't be called a bed and breakfast. It should be called squatting someone's guest room. You know what I mean?
I guess it could be okay if you were like cottages away from the main
way. You walk in, there's pictures of everyone, there's toys, there's kids running around, there's the weird old family members planted there. It's weird, there's boundaries, and you don't want to have sex. It's like, you know, when you ball away in their bed, their extra bedroom, the kid's probably sleeping there the next night. They give you a key. You're not, if you go out, you're weird about coming home. Like, well, hey, we better get back. I don't want to be banging on the door at 2 in the morning, waking the family up. Just stay at a hotel. Yeah. I mean, Drew and I stayed at a place in North Carolina that was
now the payoff.
Yeah, we're getting back to it. But this place was bed and breakfast. It had all that rustic old world charm. Rustic old world charm means floor makes noise when you walk, and it's like this floor. Like if you put an egg on it, would just go rolling to the other side of the room and bust on the baseboard. I mean, everything was out of kilter.
Also, strange. It's always primitive electronics. Always ancient
funky clock radios from the 70s, and it just give me a nice hotel room any day of the week. I'll just get loaded on the mini bar. All will be forgiven. But anyway, so we're out north. We got to go to North Carolina and do Dawson's Creek. And the reason I know it's 1 year ago, and it's coming up on 1 year ago in just a couple of weeks, is because the L.A. Marathon was going on the day I was supposed to get picked up to go to the airport.
Yes.
And again,
I remember that story.
I was talking about it on Kimmel a few weeks back. I'm going to talk about it here. Do we have to shut the entire goddamn city down so a bunch of idiots who got something to prove to themselves can prove it to themselves? Meanwhile, I'm locked in my house. I can't move now. I can't go down the hill. I can't get around. The entire city. And by the way, here's the thing about the marathon. Run the marathon this way. Go to a high school in Pacoima and see if you can make it around the track 122 times.
That's it.
Done. Do not shut the entire city down. These people, they circumnavigate the entire city, and LAX is on one side, I'm on the other side, and the entire marathon route zigzags between me, as if some planner sat down and said, how can Adam not get to LAX on a Sunday? Ah,
here it is.
This is how. Now, what a lot of people don't know is the Dawson's Creek folks said to me, and here's the part where it just becomes like surreal. I've had many airport outings go south.
Yeah,
the Dawson's
I've been
Creek,
there most of them.
The Dawson's Creek people said, look, there is an 8 a.m. flight that leaves out of LAX Sunday morning. We're going to need you to be on. And I said, 8 a.m.? What the hell? I got to get up at the crack of F to get down to LAX on Sunday. I don't need to do anything on Dawson's Creek in North Carolina until Monday morning. What am I getting up? I have to get up at 5:30 on Sunday morning. You ruined my whole day. There's nothing that flies out later? Well, there is a 2 o'clock flight. Oh, okay. Well, sign me up for that. Well, we don't recommend it. Well, why not? It's the last flight that goes to North Carolina that day. Now, if you miss that flight...
Or there's weather or something.
Or there's weather, whatever happens, you can't get there Monday morning when we have you scheduled to tape. You'll be liable. And you will have to charter a flight at your own expense from L.A. to whatever. Now, here's the beauty about the Corollas. I gave it some thought, and I did some soul-searching.
About 4 seconds
away. And I said, put me on that 2 o'clock flight. And they said, now again, if you miss it, you will have to charter a flight to North Carolina.
But there's even more beauty to Adam Carolla, which is when they say, okay, Adam, we're going to pick you up at 12:30 for that 2 o'clock flight. 12:30?
No.
1:15?
No, how dare you. No, I knew that it was the last flight out of L.A. to North Carolina, and that it was 2 o'clock, and that I should get picked up with plenty of time to make it. So the car was supposed to pick. And by the way, when do I get to start suing these car companies? The car was supposed to pick me up like 11:45 or noon, straight up, you know.
Yeah.
Ran in. Now there's the L.A. Marathon, and he can't make it to my house. He can't get up there. Every street is closed. He can't get up the hill, can't go up the canyon. And the guy never calls. He calls once to say he's going to be a little bit late, and then the next time, he never calls. He just never Just can't make it. It never shows. I'm just standing out front at noon with the bag. So there's the other thing, looking like at a certain point, it's like 1:10.
Oh, it was 1:10?
Well, it was like...
Oh, my God.
The guy calls at like 12:15. He says, I'm running a little bit late. What do I do?
Oh, my God.
You know, and I'm just standing out front of the house going, he's going to be rolling up any second now. Now it's like, I'm going to be paying for my own flight to North Carolina. I don't even want to go there. Nobody should have to pay to go to North Carolina. Oh. They should pay you to go to North Carolina. So I'm sitting there, and eventually now it's like, yeah, it's 1 o'clock, and I got a 2 o'clock flight, and I just start screaming at my wife, get in the car. You know what? Get in!
Oh, my God.
Get the thing and start the car! Never do you argue, by the way, then in these situations. You just start immediately start screaming at you. Get the car! Get out of the way! Get stuff! You're gonna drive the car back! Blah, blah, blah! Jump in the car, start speeding down the canyon, hop on the freeway. It's packed. Everything's packed. Everything. The marathon. It's like, wait a minute. But the marathon started at 7:30 in the morning!
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. This thing's going to go on. It's like, look. Again.
Is that in March?
It's like March 13th or something like that. Look, people, please listen to me. If you cannot finish a marathon in 7 hours, don't run it.
Yeah.
Because
what are you doing?
You haven't run a marathon. The idea that I could collectively walk 26 miles if you just added it up over the course of 3 weeks.
Sure.
Does that mean I did a marathon?
It proves
that. No, there's a time. There's a time for, like, I could probably get a 1500 on the SAT if you gave me 6 weeks. No, you got an hour and a half or whatever the hell they give you. All right, so. Point is, entire city shut down. I get to L.A., I missed the flight.
Oh, you missed it?
Hell yes, I missed it.
I don't remember that part. And so what'd you do?
I had my peeps. I knew I was going to miss it. I find a backup flight that they never told me about that was at 2:30 or something and made that one. But, of course, got dropped off with my bags. A week's worth of luggage, by the way. All the way at the wrong end of the airport because I was trying to make my one and then had to chug it like a madman, like OJ running through the airport. All the bags of all the way around to the Drew,
That's why you were so delightful when you arrived.
Was I pissed
North
when
Carolina.
I got there. But just look, here's the deal. Here's the thing. L.A. Marathon, 8 a.m., shut down. At 2 o'clock, it's over. Lift all the cones. Start the traffic. Hey, if you're still running, you're running. Get up on the sidewalk. You're going to get run over. Just keep going. Keep going.
That's fine.
Yeah, just keep going. Meanwhile, I get to go about my day.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, where the hell was I, Drew? What was I talking about?
I don't know.
It's coming up on 1 year.
Deborah?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi, how's it going? Good.
What's happening, baby doll?
Not much. I just first want to preempt it with Dr. Drew. I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and I really respect you. And Adam, you're really funny. But like I said, I've been listening to you guys for a while, and so I hear like the usual litany of I was a.
Hold on a second, Drew. I got a problem.
Yeah, let's see.
When I was in the middle of my tirade,
yeah,
I felt like a little loogie pearl come up in my mouth, like I was yelling so much.
Yeah,
it was like I had a little pearl of
it flew.
Loogie.
It flew somewhere.
It's gone.
It flew somewhere.
I don't know where it is.
Is it on me?
I was
That's
trying
disgusting.
To keep it. I don't know where
that
it went.
Disgusting. Look at your pants. Stand up. Get out of here.
I pulled it up, It was there. I didn't swallow it. I don't know what happened to it.
Ooh, ooh, is that it over here?
On my pants? No, that's semen. Well, it's probably
that's,
gone.
That's much better. Much better.
All you right. Don't know when the lube...
I don't see it. No.
It's not on me? I brought it up. Felt it was about the size of a pearl onion.
Yeah.
And I thought, now don't swallow it. But then I couldn't spit it out.
Sometimes it gets
roll,
like,
you know,
strangely under your tongue or something, you know? Sometimes it does something weird like that.
It's oh,
that is semen.
Where, okay. All right. But not the loogie?
No.
Okay, let's keep going. I don't know where it went. That's all I'm saying. Speaking of Deborah.
Yeah. So, Deborah, you know that we normally talk about the abuse survivors, yes?
Right. Okay. So, I have had quite a bit of family troubles when I was younger, but never any, at least that I can remember, never any sexual abuse.
Be a little more specific. What happened with your family?
Well, I was adopted when I was 3 and a half.
How come?
Ooh.
Yeah. How come?
How come? Because from my understanding, my birth mother, she had me when she was really young, and then her parents, alcoholics, yada, yada, yada. At any rate, she just couldn't take care of me.
So you have no recollection prior to 3?
No.
Nothing? You don't remember your birth mother? Nothing?
No. I mean, I wish I did, but I don't.
Why do you wish you did?
Well, because my adoptive parents weren't exactly... weren't exactly the type of people that should be adopting children, I guess you should say.
Was it that, or was your behavior kind of
Both, I'm sure. I mean, when I was a child, I wasn't, like, of the coherent mind to be like, oh, well, you know, I'm doing this because of this reason and that sort of thing, you know? But looking back on it, I'm sure I was acting out because of, you know, because I didn't understand what was going on. And
all right, well... All right, but what's happening now? Are you getting any therapy?
No, because...
How about it?
I'm sorry?
You get some therapy.
Well, yeah, I know. I just can't afford it right now, and two, I've been through so many therapists when I was younger because my parents were trying to figure out what was wrong with me.
That's a lot.
Wait a minute, by the way, how much imagination do they need to have knowing that you had an alcoholic, chaotic family system and were abandoned at age 3 and a half? Why they couldn't put that all together?
Well, also, give your adoptive parents a little credit, by the way, sending you to therapy and adopting you.
Right.
I mean, why? I know. Look, I mean, here's what happens. Here's what happens.
The ones that stick around.
You get abused from 0 to 4, whatever.
Right.
Then somebody, and I'm not saying they're saints, but they're a hell of a lot better than where you came from, and certainly a lot better than me. They come in and they do everything they can, but the abuse was so profound that you just act out and you throw tantrums and they have to discipline you and then you resent them, but you're really angry at your biological parents.
Right.
And then it sort of goes down in the book as, well, they weren't great people. I don't know. The idea that they, you know, that they came in and took you to try to get some therapy and stuff. I mean, maybe they're a little bit better than you're giving them credit for, Deborah.
Yes. It's just hard for me because when I was 10, they kicked me out of the house and made me pull weeds to earn money so that I could sleep inside. And
yeah, but I mean, sure, because you were just raising holy hell.
It was because I wasn't doing my chores and I wasn't following what they thought was the... My sister was adopted from a different family, and she was adopted when she was like a couple hours old or something. And she's a year older than me, and so just from taking a lot of psychology classes myself to try to figure myself out, and from talking with my mom, my adopted mom, just that, you know, she had an idea of what she wanted me to be like, and I wasn't that idea. And, like, when I was younger, I would hoard food in my room, and... So they would, like, chain the refrigerator's door shut and wouldn't let me have anything unless it was, like, at a specific meal time.
All right. Hey, it's hard to tell, but, Drew, you and I sort of know that you had a feral child here that you were trying to set boundaries for, it sounds like to me.
Yes.
And that can get a little ugly sometimes.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's more what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
It's not going down in Deborah's mind is that. It's like, oh, they chained the refrigerator shut.
Yeah, it's because she would have cracked it open otherwise.
It sounded like you had parents that were overwhelmed and
really
were
trying
to do something. And here's the only reason I'm siding with them. A, they adopted you.
Yeah.
And then B,
they put up with her.
They put up with you, and then C, they sent you to therapy.
They did their parenting. Yeah, they tried to come to terms with this.
Yeah, and by the way, all you ingrate kids out there, if they send you to therapy, it's usually because there's some interest in you getting better, mm-hmm. because they're trying to punish you in some way.
Right, that's right.
All right, so Deborah, it's, hate your biological family a little bit more.
Yeah.
Love your adoptive family a little bit more, and hit some therapy.
Get back to therapy.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. We are having the good fortune tonight of a presence of a dear, 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 dear friend, Mr. Burcham. Thank you for joining us, Burcham. Appreciate it.
I came out here for the Corolla kit. He's a big boy. It's a good-looking kid, that Corolla.
What are you going to do?
Great looking. He's hung like a black rhino, too. That's weird. He's got that matinee idol good looks. You know what I'm saying?
Virgin. Mm. The endowment part?
Good looking kid.
How is it you knew about that?
Word on the street.
On the street, I see.
I got my ear to the pavement.
Indeed you do.
Tell you something, I'm like Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch.
You and Snoop get together once in a while?
I'm just saying, I know the streets. I know what the kids are into.
Just so if those
That's
of
you... you make the big bucks.
And there's Corolla ringing in, just so great.
Mm-hmm. Right back at you, big fella. Yeah.
Anderson?
What's that?
That's why I make the big bucks.
That's right, okay. Just in case there are people out there that have not had the experience or the great good fortune of experiencing... our dear, dear, dear friend, Mr. Burcham.
Mm-hmm.
Burcham, why don't you explain your heritage and, you know, how you've
Vietnam vet.
Yeah. And your
three tours over there.
The work. We're going to be taking some woodworking questions, too, tonight, because you have some expertise.
Teach shop by Louis Pasteur Middle School out in Monrovia.
Nice. What age?
Shocking. Wood shop.
What age groups are you teaching?
Middle school.
Middle school, I see. So,
you're not listening?
No, didn't listen.
His headphones on?
So it's like 15, 13, 14, 15.
13.
Yeah,
13. 13, 14.
That's a great age, huh?
Love wood. Don't care for the kids.
That's such a great age, though.
Not a big fan of the kids.
But you've been doing it how many years?
Nah, they're too far gone at that age.
How many years?
With the teacher over there?
Yeah.
No, it's into the teens, easily.
Good Deep times.
Teens. Deep teens.
And yet you'd have to put up with these kids all those years. You don't like them?
No, not a fan. Not a real fan of dudes.
Hey, it takes all kinds.
Except for that Corolla boy. That guy's 10 kinds of funny.
But you're not just
10.
Teaching boys.
I got a couple lesbos in the class still.
But what are you going
to
do?
The girls are required to take shop too, right?
Look, enough about me. Let's take some calls.
Let's take some calls. I'm waiting for some woodworking calls to come up, which of course
Shut up, enough. Everyone. Talk.
All right. This is James, who's 21. James?
Mm-hmm. James?
Hi.
You're on Mr. Burcham.
Meth. Uses meth?
What?
What's meth?
It's methamphetamine, speed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speed, yeah.
Good times.
Let's do a little of that now.
Good times.
What's your question? I was wondering, what does the long-term effect of meth, ecstasy, and pot have on the human brain?
He is a big boy, and there is no added effect. In other words, there's no synergistic effect. It's just additive. Whatever meth would do, plus pot, plus XC is what you get.
Quiet down, punk. His brain's like one of those trays that goes at a bar under where they pour the drinks. You know what I mean? It's got five different kinds of booze in there.
What are you going to do?
You're messing yourself up, son.
Here's the deal. The meth and the XC are going to be your biggest problem because those are drugs that can damage brain.
I'll tell you something about Burcham. He gets high on life and those amyl poppers.
You're into that now?
Mostly life.
But the
amyl popper. Pow.
I don't mean to be presumptuous, but amyl popper is sort of prevalent in particular cultural...
The gays?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only thing they got right, those people.
And how did you come to the amyl nitrate, the poppers?
Listen, like I said, I've been around.
Okay.
I know what goes on the street. I would say we can learn a few things from the gays.
So,
your son is gay. Fashion, one of them. and the amyl poppers. That's the other thing they got right.
So James.
Yeah.
So, again, it's the issue of what's called excitotoxicity from the ecstasy and the meth.
Yeah.
And then the pot just, what?
I've actually been clean for 7 months now. I'm in recovery.
Are you still having memory problems?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I have a lot of memory problems. I still have, I have dreams.
He just remembered he had memory problems. He's like, oh, wait a minute. Yes!
And once again, on this show, it's not, funny you should bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's like, yeah, oh, yeah, you're talking to me. I have memory problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the ecstasy and the meth that causes that. And now, that is associated with limbic brain damage, memory problems, depression, panic, and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be persistent, so it's important to take medication.
Boring!
All right, yes, sir.
All right, where's the woodworking stuff?
We ain't got
That's really why I'm here.
All right, we're
See you the day! Kids.
This is...
the hell? Carl the boy, funny, though.
10 kinds.
Hey, if you kids want to hear me, see me on Crank Yankers, Tuesday nights, Comedy Central, 10:30.
Did you get that gig?
Good times. Way. Blue Kimmel.
Blue Kimmel.
Not right. Gonna lie to you.
Okay. Yeah, Jesse, 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I had a question about my ex-boyfriend. He left me, and I'm 7 weeks pregnant.
You stinking whore.
Mm. And?
And I don't know what to do about him. I miss him so much.
Right. You miss him so much.
Uh huh.
But he's an ass.
How many months pregnant is she?
7 weeks, I think she said.
7 weeks.
Yeah.
How many months is that?
2 months. He's a bad guy, Jesse, right? He leaves you, abandons you when you're really in need and vulnerable.
Hey, it takes all kinds.
What's
We've been
not to
dating
miss?
For 3 years, and he just decided to leave me when I told him.
You're pregnant?
That sort of, under definition of a-hole, you'll see a boyfriend who leaves after 3 years when he finds out girlfriend is pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And you look under a definition of boring, and you see Dr. Drew.
What are you going to do?
Hey, but it's good times.
No, good times. Good times. No, I respect the man. I don't want to listen to him, but I respect him.
But Bertram, Jesse's calling from Alaska.
Alaska.
You spent time up there?
Beautiful country out there. Fantastic country. Horrible people. Horrible, horrible people. Beautiful country.
You fish?
Beautiful, majestic.
To Alaska.
Majestic, exquisite, beautiful. God's got horrible people. Dreadful, horrible thing.
You must have
beautiful country.
You had some sort of bad experience out there.
No, it is salmon.
What happened?
The river's teeming with salmon. The sky's so blue.
Beautiful, you say?
The Kodiak bears. It's a beautiful, horrible people. Horrid people. Beautiful country out there.
What did you say? Oh,
beautiful,
here we go.
Exquisite, snow-capped mountains. Horrible people.
Our guest tonight, I'm Dr. Drew, is Mr. Bertram.
Mm-hmm.
Adam is sort of in and out.
No.
He's, in fact, what we would call virtual.
Uh-huh. Give me a mother effing shoot!
Mm-hmm. And this now is going to be a Bertram question from Scott, 28. Mm-hmm. Scott?
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, Scott. What's up?
Sam.
I'm looking at buying a modular home, putting it on some property.
Good times.
Mm-hmm. Modular home. Bertram, can you translate that for me, please?
Mobile home.
White trash. Oh,
modular home. Where did the term modular home come from?
You snap it together,
but it
comes in pieces.
Yeah.
But it's such a euphemism. Why?
They can't put a whole house on a truck.
I see.
So they do it in a couple pieces.
I see.
Then they go on site and they snap it together.
He's Kyle, a big trailer.
Boy. That's right.
Okay.
Okay. Got one of the questions is that the guy is talking to me about his roof pitches. I don't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about, like, 412 and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I guess. I really don't know anything about it.
He wants to know what's his question?
What I want to go with, I don't know. I live out here in Michigan. We get a ton of snow.
You understand why I hate our callers?
What kind of roof should you put on a mobile home? A trailer?
Well, here's the thing, everybody. You want a good steep pitch on your roof, especially if it's going to be snowing.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to be snowing, you can't have a flat roof. We can have flat roofs out here in the Los Angeles area. You know what I mean? Just flat, parapet, little scupper action.
Flat.
No problem.
White rock.
Yeah.
Wait, who invented that?
Is that you, Bertram? No. I knew those guys were high at the time.
Were they in Nam with you or something? Or?
Horrible period. No, we would have killed those. They wouldn't let those types over there. We had men over there.
Concentrate, Bertram.
You want a steep...
Something happened to your voice.
It takes all kinds.
No. You want a steep roof. You want it steep. And not only that. Not only when it's steep, but I swear to Christ, you can have a roof that has, you can see light coming through it. If it's a steep enough rake, it won't leak.
Really?
You got a good steep rake on that roof, it ain't going to leak. Plus, you get the insulation. because you got that big airspace up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And secondly, and or thirdly, you get a lot of storage up there.
Oh, good time.
So
even on a trailer, it's a good idea to get a, just stick a roof on there.
Yeah. Well, the guy's asking. He's building him a modular home. Yeah. He wants to know what pitch. I say go steep as you can with the pitch. You got room up there. Plus, you can put mechanical stuff up there. Put a heating unit. You can run duct work. You got storage. It's nice to have space.
I'm sure
in
he's
there.
Got like a DSL and surround sound. I'm sure that's what Scott's got going on.
No, right? I'm talking about space to run ducts, to run heating.
But I'm sure Scott's going to have DSL, all kinds of fancy electronics going up there, right?
Yeah, yeah. In the modular home, you're lucky if you got a clock radio.
Okay.
White trash. That's albino trash there. No, you get some attic space in there. You get a little crawl space in there. It's a good place to stuff the hookers, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes those tricks go bad.
Well, it reminded me that you've occasionally described to me having, you know, in our lengthy friendship that we've maintained since the time you were on Loveline, maybe as much as 10 years ago, you have flashbacks sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
What triggers those flashbacks, and what are they flashbacks of? You mentioned the tricks. Going
I don't want to look into the past. I want to look into the future.
Whoa.
You understand?
Whoa.
Yeah.
The future. Big knuckle sandwich for Dr. Drew. He starts bringing that crap up.
Got it.
Not the time, not the place.
That's why you make the big bucks.
It actually is, because waiting for a woodworking question for you.
So
here's Joel.
I'm tired.
All right, Joel, last question. Joel.
Yeah, I moved recently, and the movers lost a couple of table legs. And I want to replace them, but the company that makes the table won't send them to me.
No.
So I was wondering what the best way to maybe replicate those table legs, but where a good place to take them.
Big penis. Well, you don't got a lathe, do you, son?
I don't have a what now?
A lathe. And by the way, when they say a what, usually I'll take that as a no.
Yeah.
Right. That's
it takes all kinds.
Here's the dealio. You need to detach one of the two that you have left.
Right.
Go down to a hardwood store, all right? Place that sells hardwood.
Yeah, that's a place I've never been to. What are those like?
Yeah, I know, because only dudes go there.
Okay.
Then them queer baits, they don't let in.
I see.
No shoes, no shirt, no queer baits, no service.
Okay.
That's what the sign says. So, Joel.
Good times.
You're out in Santa Monica?
I am.
You one of them queer baits, too?
I'm not one of them.
Wow. Better get out of that town. Here's the point. They got hardwood places. They got one by the 405 freeway over there.
Yeah, there's kinda like an Anowalt.
No.
It means hardwood, like a woodworking.
That's a hardware store.
It's a lumber store. Yeah.
You got to go to a hardwood place.
Okay.
You understand? You just call up. Look in the yellow pages. Yeah. Don't bring up yellow, Drew. I'll have another flashback.
That's what I'm talking about. I want to make sure I don't bring anything.
No. Why?
Somebody peed on you, Nam. I'm sorry.
That was the color of Charlie, you jack off.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Now listen to me. Jeremy. No, wait, Joel.
Yeah.
All right, look up hardwood. Go down to that place. Bring that spindle with you. Bring that leg. Show it to them. They might have something there that'll match. If not, they can match it for you. Because they do, you know, when you're doing a staircase, you do all the balusters and all that kind of stuff and the spindles. They make them up.
It's good.
They'll make any shape you want. Quick. And they stock a lot
of
them,
too. It's your expertise, Virtue. Quick door question.
Good time. Jeremy.
What's going on?
Real fast. You're hanging a pre-cut door?
I bought a pre-hung door. I need to install it.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-hung door. Pre-cut door.
Yeah, it's not pre-cut. It's pre-hung.
Okay.
Pre-swung. And it comes with the jam, right?
Yes, sir.
Comes swinging on the jam. All right. And you just got a rough opening, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Is your rough opening good?
I would assume.
Your rough opening should measure about a half inch in each direction, width and height bigger than the outside of the jam. Need a little space to level things in there.
Even I can understand that.
Right.
Boring bit.
Jeremy?
Yeah.
Don't make me turn on you, Corolla. Jeremy, here's what you need. You don't have any tools, so you don't have a nail gun or anything, do you?
Just a hammer.
Just a hammer. Get some finish nails. You need shims. You need a level, and you need shims. All right? What
the hell's a shim? Okay.
Shimmer wooden shims. You know, they're bundles. You get bundles of wooden shims. Here's what you do. Swing the hinge side. That's the butt side. I call that the butt side. I don't know why, and the other side's the strike side.
Okay, right.
That makes a little more sense. Level that and swing that and swing the door, and then work the margins around the door. So you see what I'm saying?
So you hang the door from above?
No. You take the hinge side.
Yeah.
You got an opening. You got a rough opening, right? Go in and take the side where the hinges are.
Yeah.
It's on the jam,
not the door, the jam. Yeah, yeah.
Level it up, plumb it up, put a few finish nails in there, use some shims, get all plumb and level, and you're done.
Yeah.
Now the other side is loose.
Yeah.
Now you shut the door. And you work the space around it so it's all the same using the shims and nail it off in place.
That's
why
you make the big bucks. Good time.
You don't just level everything and then put the door in.
I always leave your visits feeling enriched.
All right.
And I thank you, Mr. Fletcher.
Fantastic.
Good to have you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Well, thanks to Mr. Bertram came into the studio.
You were a little bit sort of were you put off, or were you overwhelmed by his
Bertram
accolades for you? Or
I'll tell you what, Bertram is
just a little more quiet.
He's
than
a soloist. You know what I mean? Like when Jimi Hendrix is out on stage.
Was I saying too much to him?
No, I think he was okay with you. I'm just saying when Hendrix is out on stage, he's doing a solo.
Yeah,
you don't pull up next to him on the bass.
Right, stand back.
You just stand back. Let him do his thing.
That's good. Okay,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're fine. It's not good times. Yeah.
Bertram was explaining to Drew during the break actually what shims were.
That's right.
Yeah. In his world, everyone knows what a shim is.
Yeah. Well.
But don't you? Drew, don't you shim things up? Like if you got a table that wobbles. And you slide a piece of cardboard underneath the short leg.
I will forever call that a shim. I don't know what the hell I've called it.
Oh, you would never call it.
You got a block. You got a block. Something.
I would always call it shimming it up. Or,
yeah,
okay.
Not in my
shimmy?
World.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to the phone. Speak to Brian, who's 18. Brian?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy boy. What's going on?
Well, me and my girlfriend's been living together for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when we first got together, you know, we didn't have sex at first, and then like 3 months later, we started having sex, and it was good.
This is when you were 16?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was 18 at the time.
Mm-hmm. And you were living with her at that point?
No, she moved in with me after she graduated high school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But she was 18, but not graduated high school?
No, she graduated high school.
She took the GED,
Did you
right?
follow that logic?
No.
She moved in with you when she graduated high school?
After she graduated high school.
3 months into your relationship, when you were 16 and she was 18, you had sex.
Yes. Okay.
And my question was, 18, she's out of high school?
Yeah, when she graduated high school.
So 3 months into your relationship, when you were 16,
yeah,
you're living together.
Yeah.
Wow, that took a lot.
Every time you say graduated, every time you say she graduated high school, he answers with something other than that, other than yes.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Well, anyways, back to the question.
Did she take the GED?
No, she graduated. We met in high school.
All right. So, what's up, buddy?
Well, anyways, you know, sex used to be, like, really, really good. You know, it's like endless. We could do it, you know, forever.
But again, you're 16, she's 18, you're living in your own house?
No, my mom's house.
And you're having endless sexual encounters around
your mom. Just trying to read while the headboard is banging against the wall in the adjacent room. Oh,
it takes all
God.
Kinds.
Yeah,
is that the fact? You were living with your mom?
Yeah, but I'm living with my mom now still.
Okay. All right, so now...
Oh, that makes it all better then, of course.
2 years later, the sex ain't so great.
No, it's not.
Yeah, okay.
And, before she is pregnant too.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You're right. You got a beautiful like white trash schedule that you've been keeping to like clockwork.
Maybe we can get Bertram back here to give him some modular home suggestions.
Modular dumpster home decorations. Hey, listen, Brian. What's up with the pregnancy? You don't sound that stupid.
What's up with the pregnancy? What do you mean?
Well,
what's the
plan?
Brian's
kind of dumb,
yeah.
What's the plan with the pregnancy?
To have the kid.
All right, then what? What are you? Are you working now?
Yes, I am.
What do you do?
Retail sale of statues.
I knew it.
Huh?
Really?
That's what popped into my mind.
You sell statues, huh?
Yeah, like garden supplies, statues.
All right.
Work at a nursery, basically.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What's a good Caesar bust go for these days?
I don't know.
I sell
like little gnomes and stuff.
Caesars. It's just
Drew's looking into a sundial. nothing.
No sundials.
No gnomes. How about lawn jockeys, or is that sort
frogs?
Of, are we in politically incorrect times for that?
You're right about that, yeah.
Yeah. You get your lawn jockeys, you paint them white now.
Do you sell little waterfalls, too?
It's all like gnomes and toads and stuff like that.
Little waterfalls, all right. Anyway, wait, let's get to the bottom of this. Oh, yeah. So what's the question?
Is sex supposed to be, not good after a while, or
everything is not good after a while.
Your
favorite food is going to taste like crap one day.
I don't have time, but there's something called the Coolidge effect, where men continue to be more aroused by diversity and novelty. But she's pregnant. She's not as into this. She's probably vomiting a lot.
I ain't that into it either.
I know.
I don't look. Here's the thing.
Oh, 18.
Of course. Well, look, when you're 16 and you're living at home and you find an 18-year-old who agrees to come to your house and have endless sex with you, it is the best thing that is by far.
Didn't know that happened.
I didn't know it happened either. Evidently does. And of course, look, as many hours as she wants to log on top of your penis is as many hours as you're gonna do. And of course, after 2 years of that, things slow down and go to what would be a normal relationship,
by the way.
Cadence.
Yeah.
Okay. You're entering that adult cadence.
Hopefully.
You gotta ask us this thing.
I know.
All right, that's it, please. No more pregnancies. Don't screw up this kid.
Yeah.
All right.
Or give it up for adoption, please.
And don't let a statue fall over on the kid.
Just the little gnomes. They won't.
All right. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Well, there you go. There's your show. Take a little extendo 22-hour break, but don't worry. We'll be back tomorrow night. So
don't forget to thank Bertram.
I want to thank Mr. Bertram for coming in tonight and do a little thank the Yanker's Blood. 10:30, Comedy Central, Tuesday nights. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.